It is Dukes and Bell. Mike's off today. Turtle is in for Mike. And we're having some fun, man. And here's what's interesting. I always tell you guys, I'm ahead of the curve. And the irony for me today is we did our pre-show, for those who were checking it out. It's called Behind the Curtain. You can check it out. Day-Day and Turtle was in for Mike today, and we're talking. And we started before we went on the air talking about the Braves and potential deals. And ironically, Chris said, look, I want him to make a couple of moves, and he's laid that out. And we'll get back into that coming up here in just a little bit. But in the break, you said something to me, and then I want you to tell our listeners what I said to you in Day-Day today, because now people want to say it's official that we may be in the running. What am I talking about?
Well, according to Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, the Braves are among the top contenders interested in the services of one Tarik Skubal. How about that? How about that? And yes, to Carl's point, he alluded to this.
I did.
On the pre-show call.
I did.
He's got some sources, apparently, in the mix, giving him the skinny.
Here's what's funny about this. And look, I'm not telling you they're going to do it, but this makes perfect sense. Now, it's a rental. But when I said this to Turtle and Day-Day today, and Turtle was like, oh, I'm not sure. What are you doing? And then we talk about adding significant pieces. Now, here's the kicker for this. And if you don't know who we're talking about the two-time Cy Young Award winner for the Detroit Tigers, who aren't going anywhere. You would basically pick him up through the end of the year. If you could convince him, and maybe a World Series would be enough, and you were willing to pay him to come back, then you could have those discussions. But he's recovering from elbow surgery. And this happened, ironically, against us.
Yep.
The Tigers were playing us earlier in this season, and then remember, he leaves the game, and we're like, oh, that's weird, and then we find out. But going into this week, folks, the Tigers had lost like 21 of their last 26. They have been reeling. Now, they just swept a series, I think, against Tampa, but the fact is, like, they're 11 or 12 games out, and a lot of people around baseball are saying, okay, what can you get the most return on? So let me ask you this, Chris, before we get into some college football, because we are going to let you hear what happened and talk about what happened at this hearing yesterday as more information is coming out, including from testimony from the AD at Notre Dame, Pete Bevacqua, and also Nick Saban. But what are you willing to give up? Because this is going to be a trade. So this is not going to be cash considerations. This isn't going to be, oh, well, you know, and by the way, salaries don't have to match up. You just got to trade, right? What are you willing to give up if you were going to get Tarik Skubal, who is considered, by the way, when healthy, one of, if not the best pitchers in the league? I'm talking about across Major League Baseball. So do you trade a couple of your top players to do this? I would tell Braves fans, if we are serious and we're in the running, and Jeff Passan is now reporting this, if you want to win a World Series, you do it. But it's all going to depend on the health and recovery of Tarik Skubal. But the Braves would not do this if they didn't feel like he was going to be healthy. What are you willing to give up?
Everything.
You do it.
It's like the line from Avengers Endgame. What did it cost?
Everything.
Everything. I'm willing to give up whatever it takes, Carl. By the way, he's expected back in as short as a week.
And I love it.
So,
which also gives you a sample, right,
yeah,
of what you're going to potentially get.
J.R. Richie?
That's right.
Gone. Owen Murphy? Gone.
Okay.
Caminiti? Gone.
You're giving up all that.
To win a World Series right now?
Yes.
Yes.
What you got, Day-Day?
But see, this is what I'm talking about. You questioned whether Schwelly and Waldrip would be able to come back and pitch the same. We don't know that Skubal can come back and pitch
Day-Day.
The same. No,
Day-Day.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
No.
How could you not question
Day-Day.
It? Day-Day. How could you not question it? If you're questioning their return, how could you not question his?
Skubal's a two-time Cy Young Award winner.
I get it, but it's still an injury.
Yeah.
Schwellenbach has been in the major leagues for 5 minutes. Waldrip has been in the major leagues for 2 minutes.
My point is, I would never give that much up for him, not knowing how he's going to come back and pitch.
You know what it's called, Day-Day?
You're crazy,
Carl,
man.
You know what it's called?
What?
Risk versus reward.
Yes, it is.
That's what it's called.
No, it is. It is. And here's the thing, guys. As we're talking about the Braves and various reports out there, And I'm not tooting my own horn. This is just one of those situations.
Well, you could toot. This is a pretty bit. You could toot, Carl.
No, I'm just saying, like, because when you bring this stuff up, people always go, no way. They won't do it.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Exactly. So when you say these names, like in the sentence Tariq Skubal, when you go, man, a two-time Cy Young Award, there's no way they do that. Why not?
It's $17 million.
Well, that's the other part about this. It's a rental. This is you're getting for the half of the season, the remaining part of the season after the trade deadline, or maybe if you pull the trigger before that. But you're not paying him the entire salary he's owed. It's already been paid. You would be paying him less than you're paying Ha-Sung Kim. You would be paying him less than you're paying right now for Chris Sale.
Oh, you know what's convenient? You happen to have a $17 million marker sitting there for Jurickson Profar. Wow. Mm. Funny how that works sometimes, huh?
Well.
And could you imagine? We talk about flash forwarding to October, right, Carl?
Yes.
Could you imagine?
Well, you have been doing that all day.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I'm accurate
You're there.
Accurate in my thinking is that's where they're going. Could you imagine starting the World Series knowing you have Chris Sale and Tariq Skubal going 1-2
silly.
And 6-7 if needed?
Yeah. Now you feel a lot more secure.
Now you are the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
That's the move I'm talking about. And then you can go get Byron Buxton on top of it.
Now you're asking a lot.
And now you're really cooking with gas.
You know what? You're the kid at Christmas that gets what he wants, but then not satisfied that you didn't get the other toys you needed.
I wanted the Super Nintendo, but I also wanted the extra battery pack that goes with it with the vibrating controller and the duck hunt
Just
gun.
Just be happy.
That's what I wanted,
with
Carl.
The Super Nintendo, okay? Start there. 404-726-0929. Braves fans, would you do this? Would you entertain it? My answer is simply yes. You not only entertain it, you see what the return on this potentially is as far as what you're willing to give up.
I think you blank check it, whatever they want, Carl.
And you do this.
You blank check it.
I'm with you. Look, when I told you guys earlier today and I was like, this is the answer. It sounds ridiculous because you look at his salary, but Chris is right. It's half a year.
He's the best pitcher in baseball right now. Like, period. There's nobody else in baseball, if healthy, Day-Day, don't want to upset you, but if healthy, there's nobody else in baseball you want on the mound.
I don't disagree with you. All right, man. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think about that. That is out there. And again, we may not even get resolution to this until the trade deadline, right? They may let him come back, and they probably will, to Chris's point, pitch in Detroit a couple of more outings, maybe 2 or 3 appearances. Who knows? But if he pitches well, here's the problem with that. Price tag may go up. So this is the timing of trying to figure out, all right, if we really want to do this, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, knowing what I'm getting versus allowing him to come back, ball out, have 3 great outings. What if he comes back for 3 appearances before the trade deadline? What are we talking about? July, right? 3 weeks, and all of a sudden other teams who are in contention go, we're not going to let the Braves have that guy. And now it's a bidding war. So that becomes potentially the issue. All right, I know we don't have time. We're going to talk college football when we come back, but we will. We'll get into that. We got some Falcons conversation for you as well. Grant's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. But this is front and center, man, because for everybody who has said, and Mike has been on this as well, you know, Mike is always wanting them to do more, and I'm all for it. Sometimes you feel like you're dreaming an impossibility. This isn't. This is very doable if you're willing to take the chance.
It falls within the parameters of what a team like the Braves should be spending. That's the bottom line. If they don't do it and it's because of money,
that's a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. I don't disagree. All right, 404-726-0929. And we always talk about the rich getting richer, right? We get mad when the Dodgers do something like this, or, you know, the Yankees or the Mets have done this. We can do this.
By the way, you know who the other front-running team is for Skubal?
Who?
The Dodgers.
Of course. They're just trying to add everybody. And by the way, they would do this out of spite. They don't need him.
No.
They would almost do this just to go, well, we're gonna do this.
They got Blake Snell. They got Ohtani. They got Yamamoto. They got Tyler Glass now.
Did you see what Shohei's ERA is?
It's like 1.
0.76. It's silly. All right, man, we're coming back. We'll talk college football when we return. It's Dukes and Bell. More deals happening in the NFL. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. No deals for our Falcons, guys, but some of the major trades we've been talking about, and I think the Myles Garrett trade today was a surprise to a lot of people because again, even if you thought he was going to get traded, I don't think a lot of people had him going to the Rams. But this deal just coming down, the Eagles have agreed, it's becoming official, to trade 3-time Pro Bowl wide receiver A.J. Brown to the Patriots. We've been talking about this since the Diana Russini stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this thing has been going on for a while, knowing that he's not been happy there, and I don't blame him. You know, I mean, I never thought he was a full diva or anything. It just seems like, you know, you're not getting the football. I'm happy you take all your money, Philadelphia. You might want to try to get me the football and give you all the touchdowns in the red zone that I could probably bring you. But it's just been such a disconnect. And it seems like him and Jalen Hurts, it got strained, you know. And Saquon Barkley tried to mend fences. And the coaches, it's been a soap opera. The fact these guys are able to win a Super Bowl with all this going on is pretty impressive.
It is, Mike.
But it's come to a head, and now he's out.
Well, and look, I think Howie Roseman, the general manager, handled this right. I think Nick Sirianni handled it right. Every time they spoke, they were like, AJ is on this team, and, you know, they kept it where they needed to keep it. They never took shots at him, even though it could have been very easy to do that with the way that he's gone about his business. But when you talk about production, this is a guy, when used correctly, Mike, not only is he a 1,000-yard guy, you said it. He catches touchdowns. So
right.
I'm curious to see what Drake May, because now Drake May has a go-to guy, right? And they can develop these other young guys that they have, but he's got a guy that he can trust now. And that was part of the problem. They got to the Super Bowl, Mike. They didn't scare anybody down the field. That was the part of the problem. Like, seriously. And then you saw the pressures that you know, came after him. And Drake May did not play good in that Super Bowl. But we'll see what happens here. But, yeah, here's the compensation, by the way, if you're wondering. What's it take to get A.J. Brown? A 2028 first-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick.
Right. And Diggs is still on the Patriots, right?
He is.
So you still have Diggs. So now all of a sudden, because they basically took Diggs, you know, they kind of took away Diggs, and there's nothing else out there for you. You're right. So now you've got two bona fide targets, and now you got to account for them. I know they had the easy schedule last year, and I'd love to see them go up against the Broncos with 100% and Bo Nix, you know, at quarterback. But regardless, that's a well-coached team with Vrabel. The sideline, I mean, the stuff off the field, I should say, aside, that's in a great spot. I mean, these are two teams, as you said earlier, who is in that elite rarefied air, the 5-1 shot to win the Super Bowl. These are the guys.
No doubt. And that's why everybody's trying to improve their odds and their chances. And look, I don't think, you know, for those elite teams that were there last year, and somebody's going to fall off, by the way. Unfortunately, there'll be an injury. There'll be something that happens. All these teams are not going to be back in the playoffs. But right now, based on the personnel, you go, okay. And here's the other thing. The Eagles are saving $50 million.
Oh, by the way, Diggs was released. I just got. So
he's gone?
He's gone.
Okay. They're saving $50 million on A.J. Brown by trading him. And so that's the other part about this, Mike. So it's not only a money-saving situation for the cap, but it also helps them, I think, just from a continuity standpoint on the team.
And we had the conversation, not everybody, but a couple of guys like, what are the Falcons going to do something? We've tried to give you the breakdown of where we're at right now. I mean, we don't even know who our quarterback is going to be, guys, to start the season. You know, everyone's got their guy, and you're pulling for that guy. But when you don't really have that set up, and we're still kind of coming out of the cap doldrums. You know, we still have to pay for that Kirk Cousins fiasco. So this was kind of a year where, yes, I'm sure that Matt Ryan and Ian Cunningham, they want to make the playoffs, and we're going to try to do it, but they weren't going to overpay. And look, the Caden Ellis was the one that I think was probably the most polarizing, why they didn't, you know, keep him here, because he's really good. And now potentially you're going to ask Jalen Walker or some of these other one-year free agents to step into that role. But it's just, I hate to say holding pattern because that sounds negative, but that's kind of where we're living.
Yeah.
Guys, Carl and I talked about earlier, Rams are up here. Patriots are up here. We're not there yet. When you're there, then you go all in and go for the gusto and go get a Myles Garrett or an A.J. Brown.
The Patriots went and got Romeo Doubs is who they went and got. And then Kayshon Boutte is still there. He was the surprise
guy. And Diggs got released.
Year.
Right.
Mac Hollins, former Falcon, is still there. So those are their three guys. But now you've added A.J. to this mix. And they've got a couple of other guys that they really like. But that was the receiving core for those guys after Diggs ended up leaving. 404-726-0929. Mike, I said, which offseason move do you have the most trust in regards to the Falcons? A lot of people are talking about, you know, hey, whether it was the free agents or the draft picks like A.V. or Zachariah Branch, they think he's really going to do something. For me, right now, it's Stefanski and Bill Callahan and Tommy Rees, because they know what they want to be. I think to me, like, that's the most trust I have because they've already got a plan in place. I don't think it's Matt Ryan and Ian Cunningham yet. Haven't been on the job long enough, right? And once we develop or turn into a championship caliber team, Mike, then we can start to talk about Ian in the same way that we were just talking about Howie Roseman. You build championships, right? Or Brett Veach in Kansas City. Now people trust that you're going to be able to fix this and do the right things, even when the team is wobbling. We hadn't been there with those guys, but Stefanski and his coaching staff that have been together, those are the guys I'm trusting right now.
And we've talked about, we spent some time on Cleveland and all the things that were, again, above his pay grade, beyond his control, and the guy still won Coach of the Year twice. We talked about all the great draft picks and the owner medals, and they do Stu Watson, derailed that team. I'll tell you this. See if you agree with me on this one. If we had hired Stefanski, if Stefanski was available and it wasn't Raheem Morris, okay, and you had to deal with the Kirk Cousins situation,
ooh,
when the injury occurs, Stefanski would have been proactive.
Yeah.
And his coaching staff would have had Michael Penix Jr., even if he had to strip down a rudimentary playbook to get him out there when Cousins was in, because he obviously needed some time to get right. But we didn't. And I'd have to remind you guys, you all lived it. But that's what we're talking about. We say like a better decision-making process and just better and a little more brain power on it than certainly a first-year offensive coordinator was in Zach Robinson.
Well, I think with his history with Kirk Cousins, I think he probably would have went back to Kirk and tried to allow him to win the job again.
Right.
Again, that's where – but this is all hindsight, right? I mean, we don't know how this actually would have played out, but just based on what we have a feel for with Kevin Stefanski, like that, yeah.
After the Saints game, okay, Chargers, we're gonna hey, I'm going to have to ice up, son. We're going to have to get Penix in here to try to win this football game. And that's where the thing started to wobble. We lost the division.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. Lots of NFL news coming down again. A.J. Brown being traded today. And this whole June 1st, post-June 1 thing is real. And that's why these deals are happening because, again, the cost involved with some of these players, you got to wait. And so when we started talking about these potential deals in the spring, when we were like, hey, the draft and free agency, and you hear A.J. Brown will be traded, and you're like, okay, what are they waiting on? These are the financial implications that you have to wait on, but it's worth it because, Mike, if not, you cost yourself more money just by saying, we got to get rid of this guy right now, when you can wait and save.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with A.J. Brown, you know, leaving. Devontae Smith, of course, is there. And remember, guys, Mekhi Lemon, who everybody goes, is this guy stoned?
Yeah.
Remember on draft night with the whole, like, yeah, you know, I'm really excited about it. I'm hoping I'm going to be ready to go. It's like, what is going on here? It's like, so this is the dude who is an all-world wide receiver out of college, high expectations. Roseman and his guys are never afraid to take a risk for a guy that maybe they think is his head screwed on straight. What's this guy's rap? USC, that's the dude that they picked up, in addition to other guys like Hollywood Brown to shore up that room. That's why a guy like Jahan Dotson was available for us. By the way, you have any idea what this guy's going to be here for us?
No, but I like his skill set. I don't know. But when we signed him, I said I think that's a good pickup, not knowing what the plan was for all the rest of the wide receiving room. I did not know we were going to go get Zachariah Branch, right? That helps us. But yeah, man, I think for the cost, Mike, it might be one of the cost-effective moves that anybody talks about all season long. Again, for the amount of money he's getting, it's not $25, $35, $45 million. He can come in here and be productive. I'm all for it. And when I say that, guys, I'm talking about 800-plus yards, give me 6 to 8 touchdowns at wide receiver because, again, Bijan and Drake and Pitts should take up most of that.
Right. And as Data asked today on our sheet about the show, about who's the guy you're most confident or at least excited about is, you mentioned him, Zachariah Branch. Been talking about him all last year with George. I can't wait to see how they're going to use him in this offense. And now the question is going to be, and I had a guy ask me this the other day. No, I have no idea yet because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I don't know. I mean, no, I would not take a flyer on Zachariah Branch in the third round of your fantasy draft, Carl, because you just don't know what the usage rate's going to be, right? Hopefully he will become that guy, but it's going to be a healthy, not Wood, Drake London, and hopefully Pitts. That's the thing. If everything starts to become what it's supposed to be and everybody plays to their optimum, then, okay, then you have a lot of weapons to choose from and use, but it might not mean that somebody's going to be like a fantasy stud other than maybe Drake. Pitts was number two tight end in the league last year.
Yeah, but even with that, I mean, like, how long have we been saying they're going to use him the right way? 4 years.
Right.
We've been saying that. So, I mean, yes, if you just want if your league is all about yards, draft him. If your league's about touchdowns, be careful.
Right. Now, again, I don't think you could draft anybody on a team as a skill position player until you know exactly what your delivery system is going to be, right? Who's going to be throwing it?
Yeah. Well, look, hopefully that gets resolved sooner than later as we get ready for camp. It's funny because these moves are happening. It's getting me excited. It should get you excited.
Right.
When you start to see these trades happen in the league, right, and that's what's going on, guys, free agents that have been out there getting signed, you start to realize the countdown to camp is on. That's what's going on right now. And we need to get our roster set, and we're going to make the moves we need to make. For the Falcons, again, I know you're going, all right, well, what else are we going to do? Nothing.
No, I mean, maybe a defensive tackle or two gets cut late in the late in camp, perhaps.
But nothing like these deals.
No, guys, and that's – and I get it. It's for some fans, it is fantasy football every day of the year. But that's just not where we're living. Hopefully, with Ian and Matt and everybody else, the fans, we're going to be there. You know, and hopefully we take a huge leap this year. And who knows, man? We could be talking about this, you know, imagine like a year from now. Oh, remember all those conversations about Penix is washed and the knee injuries, and Penix established himself as the man. And Stefanski unlocks his potential and his accuracy comes up and this guy's the dude. And we're off and running. Or it's Tua. You know, just don't know yet. But I know some guys like also can't buy either one of those scenarios and still feel the quarterback comes next year in that draft you talked about.
Yeah. It's going to – look, this season's going to be crazy. This offseason is going to be crazy. It already is. Right. Hey, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. Went to see a band I loved as a kid. They sucked. I'll tell you about that concert. Also, I'm going to pick your brain on this and tell me what you think. All right. It's one thing when you see a soccer player flopping and taking a dive. But is it okay to do it if you get run over by the ambulance golf cart? I'll explain. Coming up in Guy Talk.
Something I've never wanted to do, but people want to do it all the time. I just don't get it. Maybe you can help explain why. It's Dukes and Bell. Mike's out today. Chris is in for Mike Turtle. I just saw this, and I just want to mention this real quick, because these are the kind of gifts that programs get, and then all of a sudden they take off. Tennessee has received a $130 million investment from Browns owner D and Jimmy Haslam.
Whoa.
It's the largest in its university history. Where's the majority of that money going? I'm asking. And I don't know, but that kind of gift helps. And I was just sitting here thinking, I said to Chris, it's like, oh, well, I guess Tennessee's trying to get in this mix now, huh?
Well, you know, Rick Barnes is sitting there saying, I got a top five program in the last couple of years.
Yeah, but you know, Rick Barnes never wins the big one. That's just a personal thing. But no, you're right. I mean, like, that's a big gift. We talk about this, Mike and I were talking about this with Georgia Tech and other schools where, you know, you get these $10 million gifts, and it sounds like a lot of money. $130 million? That's nice. We'll see what happens.
Whoever the next Arch Manning is we now know is a Tennessee volunteer.
That's usually how it works. All right, man, let's talk about this guy who went from 4,000 to 4 million. When you told me this story, I was blown away because I'm like, all right, what did he have to do? He did some crazy stunt. Thing went viral, and now the guy is known all over the world. But that really wasn't the case, huh?
Usually when you're dubbed like, you know, Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft, things like that, it's usually a negative thing, right? Yeah. Well, in this case, Carl, let's head out to New Zealand, shall we?
Okay.
National footballer Tim Payne became Mr. Irrelevant to Mr. Penthouse because Tim Payne was selected. He was selected by one of the Argentines, so fancy, most popular social media influencer, set out on a mission. And that mission was the following: to find the most bland, mundane, everyman, run-of-the-mill World Cup footballer.
Okay.
And after an extensive search far and wide, they settled on New Zealand and Tim Payne.
So this guy, he wasn't looking for the attention.
No. He was minding his own mundane,
okay,
boring,
all right,
everyday life. The highest rank he ever made it here in MLS was the Portland Timbers 2.
Okay.
Not the main club.
Two. Right, right.
So that shows you kind of where his skill level is at. So what this Argentine social media influencer did was posted this guy on his page and said, I've found the world's most uninteresting footballer.
Mm.
let's make him an overnight celebrity.
And he put it out there.
And boy, did they ever respond. Tim Payne went to sleep with 4,000 Instagram followers.
Okay. And it's, I'm assuming it's, this is all like football. We're talking about soccer. Post in, of that nature, what was that what he mostly posted about?
The influencer literally made a post saying, this is what we're doing. This is the guy we found. Let's turn this guy into a celebrity.
Okay.
Tim Payne is just a dude. He posts pictures of himself playing games.
Normal.
Hiking.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
Okay.
He's just a guy who is pretty good. Enough to make the national team, but you know, like, Carl, like, we don't know the depth players on the U.S. men's national team. They're pretty anonymous. So this guy is pretty anonymous. Wakes up the next morning, 4.1 million Instagram followers. He is now up to 5.9 million Instagram followers.
Still just based on the fact of
now it's snowballed.
Okay.
Because now it's making the news. People like us are talking about it.
And more people are following.
And more people are going to load.
But wait, aren't they just going to get a guy? Aren't they just going to get a normal dude? I mean, his posts aren't going to change. He's not going to be on a boat with like 10 women. You know what I mean? He's not going to do anything that is going to be salacious or like, oh my God, I can't believe he posted that. You're telling me he's going to be like on a post with a soccer ball going, hi, guys.
Quote, it puts a light on us, meaning New Zealand, which is a positive thing. But at the same time for me, I don't change. I'm still the person I am. So just keep trying to do what I do, which is play football and focus on trying to perform for my country. He has surpassed cricketer Kane Williamson, 3.3 million, and the world famous All Black rugby team.
No way. All Black?
In New Zealand.
That's a big deal.
Single-handedly has more followers than their biggest cricket star and the biggest rugby team.
And this guy's boring? He's just a dude?
He is a reserve player on the New Zealand national soccer team.
I get the stunt and it worked, but I don't get like... So after you follow him, you're thinking, I'm going to see some amazing content.
But wait.
There's more?
They played a friendly.
Okay.
In Miami the other night. You know what the marketing campaign was for the match?
Come see this dude?
Come meet Tim Payne. You know what they did, Carl?
What?
Sold out.
That's crazy.
Sold out.
Day-Day, you following this guy? You know about this dude?
No. This is crazy.
That's crazy.
Talk about a jump.
And you know what the really life-changing thing will be for him? Endorsement.
Oh, I thought you were going to say his DMs. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's married or not. That's a great question, Carl.
I'm just keeping it real.
That's a great question.
I thought you were going to say that's what's going to change.
Coming up on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Tim Payne in the mix. He's going to be able to make so much money off endorsements. Worldwide soccer with its popularity, the World Cup coming up. You're telling me, I don't know, whatever the New Zealand version of Pepsi is not going to go to him and be hey, Tim Payne.
I don't know.
To your 6 million followers, go broadcast this.
I want to see where this goes. This is interesting because he's hot. Like, you know, Jay-Z said, everybody's white hot for a second, right? He's white hot right now. What happens when this calms down? He's going to lose 2 million followers?
He still have 4 million, Carl. He'd still be doing just fine. He'd still be doing just fine.
Because what's going to happen is people are going to go, oh, he's boring. I'm out of here.
Well, no. Here's the thing. People are discovering he's a genuinely good, boring guy.
Oh, so they like
him. And they're rallying behind this guy.
Wow.
As like, basically like, one of us.
One of us.
Like they made it, essentially. Like, an everyman essentially was able to live out this dream now that everybody wishes they could live.
That's crazy.
In terms of being an overnight celebrity.
No, that's a heck of a story. It really is. It's Dukes and Bell. It's some guy talk for you guys coming up. Falcon Report's on the way at 5. We will talk about whether or not he takes the jump. And I think it has more to do with what the vision of the team is for him. We'll get into that. Grant's going to join us as well as the Braves go for the sweep tonight. That's a banana story. But let me ask you guys this. And, Day-Day, I want to ask you this, too, because I've never, ever had the desire to climb Mount Everest. But there was a story this week about a guide who basically they thought he had been lost for 6 days. Okay. And I'll say this. For most of you, you've taken a plane. You know, you've flown. You know when you get to that 10,000, you know, miles.
Ears start popping.
Yeah. You get up. And usually that's when, you know, the internet starts working, right? They turn on everything. Camp 3 at Mount Everest is about 7,500 meters. It's 24,000 feet up.
Oh.
The air is super thin, right? And so he went missing, and the last time they saw him alive was 6 days. And they were like, we don't think he made it. And people every year die on Mount Everest. This is no secret. But because of his survival techniques, a rescue team saw a guy sliding down the mountain 6 days after he was last seen. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm like, I just have never had a desire, even if I could. But I even am like, let's go climb Mount Everest. And I get the adventure part of it and all that stuff. But I just I don't understand like the risk reward of I could die. I know people do stuff like that all the time with skydiving and bungee jumping and everything. So anyways, he survived. He had frostbite on his hands, but appeared to be in good health. And everybody's saying this is nothing short of a miracle. You go missing on Mount Everest that high, you rarely don't survive. So 5 people have already died this year climbing Mount Everest. And 1,000 people have reached the summit this season, making it the busiest on record, which means more and more people around the world are like, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. Any desire whatsoever?
No. I am not an adrenaline junkie whatsoever.
Any desire?
No. Not to that extent.
You don't want to be 24,600 feet up?
You know where I want to be, Carl?
Where?
Sitting at a bar with an ice cold beer in my hand. That's where I want to be, all right? At the pool.
They showed this guy. They say they feared he'd gone missing last week, but he was found. And this guy's sipping soup.
I was literally just about to ask, how did he eat and drink?
I don't know. They're showing him once they found him, and he's sipping soup. And you're like,
Did he melt the ice and drink the water? He must have.
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe he was just lucky because, I mean, you start to get frostbite and then you get you start to just lose your will, yeah. Right? And so, but anyways, yeah.
Is he like a Sherpa? Like one of those
guides? Yeah, okay. He is. And before he was found, his wife, she offered the last rite of prayers for his soul because he had been gone for 6 days and they were like, we don't think he's going to come back. So they were doing all the things, but they showed a map, and I wish I could show you guys this. Obviously, it's a visual, but Mount Everest, the summit, and where this guy was, he was above Camp 3. It's like right below the summit. Like Camp 4 is the next one, but it's crazy where they found him as he was coming down the island and then or the mountain, and then there's base camp, which is where everybody started. It's bananas. It's crazy.
Now, Carl, here's my question. Does this cause a change of profession?
You know what?
Does he go back to his life of doing this all over again?
Well, people
after this near death experience.
But people do this, and then they just they continue to do it. I've just never understood it. I mean, like, do I want to go see it? Like, I'd love to see Mount Everest. Wow, look at it! Are you going to climb it? No, I'll see you guys when you get back. I have no desire. But
you imagine this guy's like, yeah, I'm gonna. I think I'll become a tax accountant now.
But there are people, and I'm sure there are people in our audience who are listening right now like, yeah, I did it, or I went and I tried.
Would Mike Bell do it?
Good question.
He's an adrenaline junkie.
Good question. I don't know. He might. I don't know about now, but maybe a few years ago. Maybe. I'll ask him. That's a good question. I think you're right. I think he might have, if he had an opportunity to do that.
Well, if you were able to race a car up Mount Everest.
He would do that.
He would do that.
Hey, man, we've got a lot more to dive into. As we mentioned, Falcon Reports on the way. Hey, Braves continue to win, and that is the good news. But they're also rumored to be in the mix for a big-time pitcher.
Do it.
With a potential trade. We will tell you about that. Grant's going to join us, and we'll talk NBA playoffs, guys. Game 1 last night. Spurs absolutely blew it. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.